Thank you. If you have not been with us since the beginning of the year, I want to inform you as to what we're doing here this morning in just a couple minutes. This is our 40th year anniversary as a church. We've been here ministering in Embarrass and in the whole region for 40 years. And so we are celebrating that all year long. Why not party all year, okay? So off and on as the year goes by, we're going to be celebrating the 40 years that God has given us here. And as part of that, what we're doing is, I'm calling it a First Sunday series. We're doing a series of messages that will involve 12 studies, but they will be given just on the first Sunday of each month. So it's a series that you have to wait a month to get to the next message. And in this 12-part series, which is called We Still Believe, we will be reaffirming what we believe as a church, what we believed in 1979, and we'll talk about how we still believe that. And each first Sunday of the month, we'll talk about a different thing that we believe, that we value, that we believe is important for us to be committed to as a congregation as we move on after the 40 years. And so today is the first Sunday of the month. And so we go into the second message of this series called We Still Believe. So if you would take your Bibles and turn to 2 Timothy, and when you get there, find the third chapter. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Last month on the first Sunday, as we began the series, we talked about our purpose as a church. We went through the purpose that we had determined before God way back in 1979 that we still hold to after 40 years. Today we're going to talk about what we believed concerning the Holy Scriptures in 1979. And we're going to reaffirm the same belief. We still believe the same thing about the Holy Scriptures. So that's where we're going today. Let's pray. Our Father, we give you praise for the opportunity to sing about our faith, to sing about what we believe, to sing about your Word, how we trust you and trust your Word, these ancient words that are so true, that change lives. Father, I pray that you would encourage us today as we talk about our commitment to your word, as we talk about your word. In Jesus' name, amen. In fall of 1979, I sound like an old person, right? You just start doing that. In the fall of 1979, Janine and I, in our middle 20s, sat around Ron and Verna's table with the core group that had just started this church. And that weekend in the fall of 1979, I was candidating, you call it. I was actually being interviewed to be the pastor here. And so I was on the hot seat of Ron and Verna's dining room. And we were talking, and they were asking me questions, and I was answering. And then finally, I had the opportunity to ask them questions, because I'd already been in the ministry in another church for 6 years, and I'd learned what questions you ask. And so I asked the group, first question I asked was, what will your job description be for me as the pastor here, if I come? And somebody spoke up immediately. And this person said, we want you to preach and teach the word, and we will do the work of the ministry. And I thought in my mind, sign me up. Because I love the word of God. I'm committed to it. I believe God has called me to teach it. And I believe it's the major role of a pastor teacher in a local church. And it was like music to my ears to hear that be the first thing that came from that group as to the role they wanted me to play here if I came. It told me that this group, this little core group that started the Embarrassed Free Church, was committed to the Word of God. And on your study sheet, you have our statement of faith about the Word of God, about the Holy Scriptures. This has been our statement of faith since the beginning. These are the things we have believed since the church started 40 years ago, and we still believe. So follow along as I read it. We believe that God has spoken in the Scriptures, both Old and New Testaments, through the words of human authors. As the verbally inspired Word of God, the Bible is without error in the original writings, the complete revelation of His will for salvation, and the ultimate authority by which every realm of human knowledge and endeavor should be judged. Therefore, it is to be believed in all that it teaches, obeyed in all that it requires, and trusted in all that it promises. And somebody might say at that point, come on, you mean you still follow that old and outdated book? This is 2019. And my answer to that person would be, yes, by all means, we do. We still follow the writings of this book. We agree with you. It's old. It's been around a long, long time. We don't believe it's outdated. It's amazingly still relevant after all this time. And we follow it. We decided in 1979 we would follow it. And we've been doing that for 40 years. We still believe these things that are on that paper about the Holy Scriptures. I want to show you a video testimony from someone that many of you know. Her name is Christy Salo. Her husband is Dean. They worship with us during the summer. They live in Iowa. She's going to give just a very short testimony about her experience with this church in the context of God's Word.
Hi, I'm Christy Salo, and I live in Holland, Iowa. During the summertime, my family and I live in Sedan, and so we are blessed to be able to call the E-Free Church at Embarrassed our summertime up north at home church. My first experience with the E-Free Church was back in 1987 when my husband Dean introduced me to the church that had such a huge impact on his life when he was in high school. He had been active in the youth group and he had been discipled by Marlon, so he was excited to share that with me. And little did I know that 30 years later that the same church and the same pastor and many of the same original families would still be making such a huge impact on my spiritual growth. What I love most about the E-Free Church and about its teachings are that the messages come directly from God's Word. They're based solely on the Holy Scriptures. The Apostle James said that we are to be doers of the Word, not just hearers only. To live out our faith, we have to know how to live out our faith. And that's what I love about the messages. They're not just historical, they're not just theological, but they are practical, teaching us how to live and how to love others and to love God as Jesus instructs us to do. I'm so blessed and so thankful to be able to be a part of the E-Free Church. And here's to the next 40 years of one anotherness.
I had the privilege of marrying Dean and Christy in 1987 in Grundy Center, Iowa. And it's such a joy in the summer when they are here with us. I mean, many of you appreciate Dean's heart and his sharing when he teaches. And Christy, I love when she's sitting out in the audience or in a Bible study because she is on the edge of her seat. She's got her note-taking stuff out, and she's taking notes, and she just wants to learn. And as a result, she is a young lady who has just grown and matured in her faith. And it's because of her love for the Word of God. And so I want to talk about that today. I want to talk about what we believe, what we've always believed and will continue to believe about the Word of God. 2 Timothy, if you're still there, chapter 3. And I'd like you to stand as I read the Word of God. 2 Timothy, chapter 3. Starting in verse 14. 2 Timothy 3, 14. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. In the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and in view of His appearing and His kingdom, I give you this charge. Preach the Word. Be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. For the time will come when men will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. But you, keep your head in all situations. Endure hardship. Do the work of an evangelist. Discharge all the duties of your ministry. You may be seated. I want to take four things from that passage concerning the Holy Scriptures. Notice Paul calls them the Holy Scriptures in verse 15 of chapter 3. So I want to take four things that he says about the Word of God and just talk about them briefly, because we believe all four things. First of all, Paul says the Scriptures are from God. They're from God. Notice verse 16 of chapter 3. All Scripture is God-breathed. Now, the NIV that I'm reading from takes the literal meaning of the Greek word that appears there. The word has the name for God and then the word for breathing, breath. And so literally, Paul is saying all Scripture is God-breathed. Many Bibles have the word inspired. All Scripture is inspired by God. Whatever term you use, what Paul is saying is that all Scripture is from God. And it may sound elementary, but that's why we call it God's Word. That's why we Christians refer to the Bible as the Word of God, because it came from Him. He breathed it out. He gave it. How did He do that? Well, keep your finger there. Go to 2 Peter for a little idea of that. I mean, this is something supernatural. We can't understand and explain it totally. The idea that God gave the Scriptures, breathed them out. They are His very words. But Peter gives us a little insight into it in 2 Peter 1, verse 20. He says, above all, you must understand that no prophecy of Scripture came about by the prophet's own interpretation, own construction, own ideas. For prophecy never had its origin in the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. I don't understand that totally, but that's what it says. The Scriptures come from God because they are God-breathed. They're inspired by God. He somehow, by His Spirit, moved these writers along as they penned His message. The Scriptures are from God. That's why we call it the Word of God. They are His revelation to us, His message. Because the Scripture is God's Word, that means every time I open the Scriptures, it's not just a book, it's God speaking to me. They're His words. And we Christians, we had a great discussion last night about this. We Christians cannot get complacent about that. This isn't just some book. When we open this up, this is God's message to us. He's revealing something to us about Himself. He's revealing something to us about how He has worked throughout history. He's revealing something to us about His plan, His ways, His desires. It's His Word. The Scripture comes from God. It's His Word. Because of that, then other things are true of it. It's true, right? Because God is truth. Therefore, if this comes from Him, it's true. Jesus Himself said that in John 17. He said to the Father, "Your word is truth." I believe Jesus. It's truth because it comes from the God of truth. The Scriptures are inerrant in their original writings, like it says here, when He gave them to these men. Inerrant, didn't contain any errors because God is inerrant and it's His Word. The Scriptures are trustworthy. We can rely on them because God is trustworthy. We can rely on Him and it's His Word. The Scriptures are the final authority because they are God's Word and He is the final authority. Final authority. They're life-changing. God is a life-changing God, right? He's in the business of changing lives. Anybody's life been changed by God? He's a life-changing God. This is His Word. His Word, then, He can work through to change our lives. And last night we talked about that as men, sharing how God has impacted us through His Word. I told the men, I just finished the latest John Grisham book. I've read them all. It was a good book, but it didn't change my life. Did nothing for me. Just interesting. This changes my life. I can point to times, places in here, where God spoke to me, changed my life. And so can you. There's something about it. It's God's Word. That's what does that. Comes from God. Ancient words, ever true. We just heard the group sing, changing me, changing you. So we believe that, okay? That's one thing this text tells us. The Holy Scriptures are from God. We believe that. We believed it in 1979. We believe it today in 2019. That belief has not changed. We still believe that the Scripture is from God. It's His Word. The second thing this passage tells us is that the Scriptures show us the way to salvation. Show us the way to God's salvation. Take a look at verse 15 of chapter 3. Paul says to Timothy, "And how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus." Notice this book does not save us. We're saved by faith in Christ Jesus. But he says we come to know the way to salvation through the Scriptures. You see him saying that? Timothy, as we see in the first chapter of this letter, had Christian mother, Christian grandmother. And that's why Paul could say to him, "You've known the Scriptures from infancy. You've been taught them. And they are the Scriptures that are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus." You see, the gospel, the good news about Jesus Christ, that according to Paul we believe, that brings salvation, is presented here, right? The message of salvation is here. We learn about salvation here in the Word of God. And then we respond. We learn about this God who loves us. We learn about this God who created us. We learn about how God's creation, man, turned against him, chose sin, was separated from God, the God who loved them. And how we come into this world as sinners because of that. But we also learn in the message here that God loved us so much, he sent his one and only Son into this world. The incarnation. And Jesus, that one and only Son, went to the cross. And he took our place and he was judged for the sins that we should be judged for, our sins. But he paid that price so we could be forgiven and have a relationship with God again. And he rose again. The Bible tells us that. It gives us that message. Jesus is alive. He conquered death so he can help those who believe in him conquer death. And it tells us how to respond to that by faith, not works, not by keeping laws, not by going to church, but by faith in Jesus Christ. And there's forgiveness. There's salvation. There's a relationship with God again. There's the hope beyond the grave. The scriptures present that message, the way to salvation. And every one of us who is here this morning, who has responded to that message and trusted Jesus Christ for salvation, and you sit here as a child of God, somewhere in your story, somewhere in how that came to be, is the scripture, right? Somehow you were presented with the message of salvation from the scripture. I don't know where it was. I don't know who God used to share it with you. But somehow you became aware of the message, the way to salvation that is given to us here. And that's what Paul is saying. He's saying the Holy Scriptures are able to lead you to the salvation that comes through faith in Christ Jesus. So let's take a little aside here, all right? Most of you have not been with us for the entire 40 years. In fact, I can almost count on one hand, all right, how many of us have been here the whole 40 years. But at different points, you were led here by God in different ways, and became a part of this ministry. As a silent testimony, but a powerful one, could you raise your hand if in your salvation story, your testimony, somehow the ministry of this church, the teaching, certain people in this church played a role in you coming to Christ for salvation? Could you just raise your hand? Wonderful. And it was through the scripture, wasn't it? I don't know how it happened, but somehow you encountered the scripture and it showed you the way to salvation. And I know there are others who aren't here today who have raised their hand. We believe that the scriptures present the way to salvation. Faith comes by hearing. And hearing by what? The Word of God. The Word of Christ. In 1 Peter, the Apostle says, you were born again by the living and enduring Word of God, which was preached to you. It presents the way of salvation. We believe that. We believed it in 1979. We believe it now in 2019. We still believe that about the Word of God. That it presents the way to God's salvation. Third thing that we see in this passage. The scriptures are profitable in many ways. We like that, don't we? We like something to be profitable, useful. Well, that's what it says here. Look at verse 16 of chapter 3. All scripture is God-breathed and is useful, or your Bible might say profitable, for teaching, for rebuking, for correcting, and for training in righteousness, so that the man of God, or woman of God, may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. The passage says that the Holy Scriptures are profitable for many things. They're useful. They're profitable for teaching. We learn about God. We learn about His plan. We learn about ourselves. We learn truth from the Scriptures. They're profitable for teaching us what God wants us to know. They're profitable for rebuking. You ever opened up Scripture or been under the teaching of Scripture and it was like a knife was jabbed into you? We call it conviction, where you realized, I'm doing something wrong. I'm off the track here. Has that ever happened to you? That's one of the profitable things Scripture can do. It can reprove. It can point out where we're wrong. But then it also is profitable for correction. It can get us back where we need to be. It can show us how to repent and get back to where God wants us. Scripture can do that. And then it goes a step further, and it is profitable for training us in righteousness, just an ongoing training as to how to live the Christian life. And those of you who are committed to the Scriptures and who take advantage of that dynamic of the Scripture, you know that happens, right? As you learn it, as you get into it, it seems like there's this ongoing training in how to live the life. And you grow, right? You grow as a Christian. You mature as a Christian. And it's because of that dynamic of the Scriptures that trains you for righteousness. And the goal is that God's people would be equipped, verse 17, have everything they need to live the life. Now, with those profitable things in mind, what happens if we avoid the Scriptures? What happens if we don't spend time in the Scriptures? What happens if we don't take the time to get involved where the Scriptures are taught? What if we choose not to be exposed to the Scriptures for long periods of time? We miss out on the usefulness and the profit, right? We're not getting the teaching. We're not getting the rebuking that we need because we're not becoming aware of something that's wrong. And so we continue in it, which means then we're not going to experience the correcting of the Scripture, how to get back on track, and we're going to miss out on that ongoing training in righteousness. We're not going to be equipped to live the Christian life. And when that happens, we blame everybody. And we blame situations. And the truth is, we did not expose ourselves to what will teach us, rebuke us, correct us, train us to be equipped to live life. You see, the Scriptures are profitable. They're useful for those important things. And there are other ways that aren't in this Scripture. We learn from other texts. But the Scriptures are profitable to encourage us and to comfort us. They help us resist sin. Your word, I've hidden my heart, the psalmist said. So what? I will not sin against you. The Scriptures can keep us from sin. They can help us stand against Satan. That's pretty useful. Ephesians 6, sword of the Spirit. The Scripture can help us stand against Satan and resist him. That's useful. They guide us. They counsel us. David says, your word is like a lamp. It's like a light. It leads me. It guides me. It's my counselor. It gives me wisdom. It gives me direction. It's profitable. It's useful. I just was so blessed this week, even though it was so cold. Thursday night, I was with a group of men. And that always blesses me when I hear men talking about wanting to do what the Word of God says, wanting to be what the Word of God says. And we were talking about being spiritual leaders in the home, in our marriages, and as fathers. And to hear these men talk about how they want to be men who follow the Word. That would bless any of you, if you heard that. And last night again, we played trivia. We had a lot of laughs. We drank a lot of coffee. Ate a lot of cookies. But then we had this discussion from Scripture. And what a blessing to hear these men talking about how the Word of God has impacted them. And what Scriptures have made a difference in their life. That's such a blessing. You see, the Scriptures are profitable for many things, in many ways. And we believe that. We believed that in 1979. And we believe that now in 2019. We've always believed that. And we will continue to believe that the Scriptures are profitable in many ways. The fourth and final thing I'll point out that this passage says about the Scriptures is that they are to be proclaimed and practiced by the church. That brings us into chapter 4. After telling us that the Scriptures are from God, they show the way to salvation, they're profitable in many ways, Paul goes on to say they must be proclaimed and practiced by the church. Chapter 4. In verse 1, he basically just sets up the authority by which he is going to make this statement. And then he makes the statement in verse 2. Preach the word. Timothy was the pastor in Ephesus. He's writing to Timothy about how the church should function. And so he says to Timothy, after saying these things about the Scriptures, he says, preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. But he says, preach the word. The word that comes from God shows the way to salvation and is profitable in so many ways. He says, preach it, brother. Preach the word. And do it carefully as you instruct people from the word. Why? Verse 3. For the time will come. And friends, it has come. We're living in it. For the time will come when men will not put up with sound doctrine. Any of those people around today? Any of those people in our churches today who will not put up with sound doctrine and teaching? Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. People's ears itch. They tickle. And they want someone to teach them in ways that will cure their itch and make them feel more comfortable. They don't want to hear sound doctrine. They don't want to hear, thus saith the Lord. They don't want to hear the Bible says. They just want to find teachers who can tell stories and who are good performers and make them feel good and make them laugh and send them home after an enjoyable time. And it goes on to say, they will turn their ears away from the truth. Where's the truth? They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. To myths. What's a myth? It's an untrue story. It's a good story. But it's untrue. Makes people feel good. But it's untrue. It's a myth. And that time has already come, hasn't it? I'm sure you know that as we sit here this morning, there are churches all over our country who are gathering together, and you won't find a Bible in the whole audience, right? In fact, they will go on for an hour or less, and there will be no teaching from the Bible. Is that possible? It is. Paul said to Timothy, because the Scriptures, the Holy Scriptures, are from God, they're His Word, His message. Therefore, true, reliable, authority, all those things. Because the Scriptures show us the way to salvation and are profitable in so many ways, preach it. Teach it. It must be proclaimed. And it must be practiced. And for that, we go back to verse 14 where we started. It must be practiced. He started out this way, "But as for you, Timothy, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of." What's he saying? Practice what you've learned from the Scripture. Practice it. Continue in it. You've learned it. You became convinced of it. You believed it. Now continue in it. Practice it. The way James puts it in James 1 is, be doers of the word, right? Not just hearers. And we use often the illustration James uses there of the mirror. We come to the Word of God. It's like a mirror. We see God. We see ourselves. And then so often we walk away and don't do anything about it. We don't practice what we saw. James says you got to be doers. You got to practice it. You got to obey it. That's where the blessing, that's where the growth comes. It's when you're doers of the Word, when you practice it. So as a church, we must preach the Word. We must proclaim it and teach it carefully. And we must practice it. We must make sure that as a church, our practice matches up with our proclamation, right? We proclaim the Word and we live it. We believe that. Since 1979, we've believed that and we've been proclaiming the Word. I'm not just saying it. Christy Sale just said it to you. She wasn't reading a script that I sent to her. That was from her heart. And we've been committed to proclaiming the Word of God, the Scriptures, for 40 years, and we still are committed to that. You need to know that. Our purpose isn't for you to come here whenever you come and get your ears tickled. You're going to hear the truth. You're not going to just hear good stories. You're not just going to play a board game like they're doing at a church in Virginia this morning. You're going to be taught from the Word of God. I guarantee it. In fact, I did some math this week. Kind of approximate, but here's some math. In the last 40 years, I have presented approximately 1,840 Sunday messages. Nobody here has heard them all. But I have presented in 40 years approximately 1,840 Sunday messages. As far as Bible studies go, during the week, Sunday school classes, small group studies, different settings like that, approximately 5,520 Bible studies in the last 40 years that I have taught. I'm not worn out. I'm not tired. I'm going to keep going. I hope you can handle that. I'm going to keep going because I'm committed. I believe this is God's Word. It's from Him. It's true. It's reliable. It's final authority. I believe that in here we have the way to salvation presented to us. And people need to hear that. And I believe through these Scriptures, God has a way of doing useful, profitable things in the lives of people. All kinds of useful, profitable things. And so I'm going to keep proclaiming it, if you don't mind. I'm going to keep teaching it, in season, out of season. And God help us never to wander from that as a church. And it's not easy. It's not easy. There are voices out there all over the place that think what we're doing here and the fact that we're still committed to it and doing it is kind of crazy. It doesn't make sense. It's out of style. I want to just mention something that's in this verse 14 and then we're going to close. But in 2 Timothy 3:14, that first verse where he starts out by encouraging Timothy to continue in what he's learned and come to believe and be convinced of. You know, practice those things. Live them out. Continue in them. Notice what he says next in verse 14. He says, do that because you know those from whom you learned it. You know those from whom you learned it. Young people especially, listen up. You eventually will leave us. Isn't that bad? Oh, that's so sad. But you're going to eventually leave us. Okay? You're going to graduate, you're going to go off to college, you're going to get married, and you're going to hear voices, right? You're going to hear all kinds of voices from all kinds of people. And they're going to say things to you about the Scriptures that do not coincide with what you've heard up to this point. And when you do, remember what Paul said to Timothy. Continue in the things you've learned and become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it. What's the difference between those people that have taught you the Word of God and practice the Word of God in front of you all these years, and the people out there that you will hear saying things about the Word of God when you leave here? What's the difference? You don't know them. They may be in a position of authority, but you don't know them. You don't know what their lives are like. Remember what Paul said. You knew the people that taught you the Word all those years. You watched their lives. Remember that. You don't know those people who will say something different. You haven't watched their lives. Be careful. Just to go along with that, I'll add this. I don't think it's in your notes. Hebrews 13. Kind of goes along with that phrase in 2 Timothy. Hebrews 13:7. Remember your leaders who spoke the word of God to you. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. They aren't perfect people. They weren't perfect people. But they taught the Scriptures to you. And you watch them try to live out the Scriptures. Imitate their faith. Remember what they taught you. We still believe. We still believe in the Holy Scriptures after 40 years. We still believe they're from God. We still believe they show the way to salvation. We still believe they are profitable and useful in so many ways. And so we will continue to proclaim and practice the Scriptures. I'd like you to stand with me, and we're going to reaffirm that. I want you to read along with me the reaffirmation on the bottom of your study sheet. If you are willing to reaffirm with me as we move on from the first 40 years, you read this out with me with passion. As a church family, we affirm our commitment to the Word of God as our source for truth, and as the final authority for all of life. May we be a church that faithfully proclaims and practices these wonderful Holy Scriptures. Let us not weaken nor wander from this commitment. Let's pray. Our Father, we reaffirm that commitment to you today, publicly. May we continue to be a church that, to the best of our ability, with the help of your Holy Spirit, continue to believe these things about Scripture. Continue to proclaim it, to teach it carefully, and to practice it. And Father, may we continue to see lives changed and your people growing and being equipped because of your Word. In Jesus' name, amen.